Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody doing today? Great to have you with us. Kevin's all excited tonight, although the excitement is dissipated since August 30th.
No. It hasn't dissipated just yet.
Is the chief there?
Yes. Yes, Chief is here. He's getting himself squared away right now.
Is Buhner there?
Buhner's there.
I'm here.
Bob, did I misinterpret something here?
Many times over, but we won't get into that at the moment. There's not enough time in the program.
Bob,
yes.
for years you've really been an arbitrator in the court.
I have been.
Did I misinterpret anything here?
Plead the fifth, Bob.
Do you mean this month or this year? The answer would be no. There may have been a time once, but I don't think it was this year that you did.
Hey, it was nice of Bob to join us this week. Unfortunately, he's not going to be on the program any longer.
I think it was back in 88, wasn't it?
It was. I remember it well. It was just that one time.
Yeah.
The role of Bob Buhner will be replaced by Dave Ritchie.
And speaking of Dave Ritchie, you know, he is right here in the studio.
Hi, Steve.
Dave, I know you were around. Did you sense that when Kevin said August was his favorite month of the year, does that usually mean that September kind of falls down a little bit after that?
Well, I think August is his favorite because football rolls around in the Little League World Series. I know he enjoys that a lot. But, yeah, it'd probably be a little bit of a letdown in September. Of course, if the Steelers were playing better, I'm sure Kevin would be a lot more fun in September.
Kevin, I'm sorry, but the state rests. I call no more witnesses.
Sorry, Kevin.
That's all right.
Even your friends.
Steve,
crush you.
Steve, the jury deliberated, elected an informant, and came back with a verdict in under 45 seconds.
I'm sorry. Oh, it must be awfully tough to live the rest of your year on the downside.
You know what? No, but it doesn't fall off until, and for me, everything's at a plateau and continues to cruise there. Do you have laughing gas in the Sunbury Motors studio?
Steve,
you're supposed to use the nitrogen from Sunbury Motors in the tires, not in your lungs.
You know what, Steve?
Does your voice ever get high when you get all emotional?
Steve, do you know what Kevin told me during the break? He said, you know, it's only 11 months till next August.
it builds. August builds. And then it sticks around for a long couple of months into January. And then it starts to slowly fade out a little bit. Then basketball kicks in. And then we're in full swing for that. And then March, and then everything goes to the bottom. April is when it gets bad for me.
Dave, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, you have a game coming up tonight. You're looking forward to that. Give us a quick preview of the one that you'll be calling this evening.
Well, Todd Homo and I will go up to Hughesville as the Hughesville Spartans take on the Lewisburg Green Dragons. It's the battle of the green and white. And it used to be a very interesting because Rick Reichner and Todd Tilford were the coaches a couple of years ago. And they were both former students of mine and players when I was coaching at Shikellamy and teaching there. But it hasn't lost its luster. It's a very, very tough Heartland Conference 2 game. And I think the item did a really nice job this week saying that both teams are at the crossroads here. Hughesville is 0-2, but they've lost to two very good football teams. Central Columbia by a point, and they were beating Bloomsburg and ended up at the very end of the game losing. I watched and saw some of that game on CCN. And Hughesville looks like they have a very, very good offense. They're able to sustain some drives, and they run the wing tee very well. And Lewisburg has had some problems stopping the run. I know in the paper this week, Todd Hummels wrote that Jeremy Wynn said that it was a good thing that they played Mount Carmel because they found out that they have to get tougher. And I think Lewisburg is going to have to play more physical in order to beat Hughesville. It's not that they don't have a good defense. They've lost, they've given up points, but the defense has been put in some precarious situations, and it's very difficult to stop somebody when they get the ball on your six-yard line or you have a punt blocked and it gets recovered in the end zone for a touchdown. So the defense has played well. It's the offense that has not been able to sustain any type of drive. You're three and out or you run first down and out. It's hard to win football games like that. And I think they're just trying to get things together. And hopefully they'll be able to do it tonight against Hughesville.
Kevin, you have Sealands Grove against Shikellamy this evening. Another good old-fashioned backyard scrap. 52nd meeting between the two. What do you see in that one?
Well, Dave knows all about this. He played in a few of those over the years. And we were just talking about that a few minutes ago, was how this series has been so unique in a rivalry. Usually in a rivalry, you have a back and forth every year or so. You know, one team wins and then the other team goes on a little bit of a run. It hasn't been that way. Shikellamy dominated early in the series, and then in the 90s, Sealands Grove has really taken over in the series. It's only been recently that this has been what you would call a true rivalry, where you don't quite know, you know, who's going to win this. But David, you can. This is one you definitely throw out the stats.
Oh yeah, I think the first 11 years of the merger of Northumberland and Sunbury, Shikellamy defeated Sealands Grove. In fact, unfortunately, it was my first year that I was back at Shikellamy teaching that Sealands Grove won, and that was the fall of 1977. And from 77 on, probably until through the 80s, it was pretty much back and forth. And then in the 90s, the Seals took over. In the beginning of the new century, they dominated things. And Kevin's right. I've seen it's very unusual. Back in the 70s, the 60s, and the 80s, names like Fozzie and Weir and were names that you would hear of players on the Shikellamy team. But those players were now on Sealands Grove's team, because a lot of people that I know ended up moving to Sealands Grove, and it's just kind of interesting. It's a very, very unique situation. I think it's very similar to the Southern Mount Carmel. People moving out of Mount Carmel into Southern, and I always said a lot of the DNA from Sunbury and Northumberland moved down to Sealands Grove, and because guys married girls from Sealands Grove, girls married guys from Sunbury or Northumberland, and then of course people move down there because it's a very nice place to live too.
Well, Dave, you know the old adage that you're never as good as you thought you were, you're never as bad as you thought you were, and I think the latter works very well for Shikellamy, even though they're 0-2. This is a team that could easily be 2-0. It's been penalties and just bad timed, well, not that there's a good time mistakes, but mistakes at maybe the worst time that have really cost Shikellamy. They had two touchdowns called back last week on penalties, and that makes it a tie ball game in essence. So, yep. And they did have trouble handling Mifflinburg's running game, and Mifflinburg did a really nice job of really trying to change up the linebacker reads for Shikellamy's 3-5. And I think you might see Sealands Grove try to do something similar here tonight. But Adams, a very solid running back. They run a lot of fullback dive at Sealands Grove. And then they can go into the pistol, which then gives a rapid opportunity to throw the ball or hand it off on basically a draw or stretch play to Adams. So I think that's going to be a real challenge for Shikellamy's 3-5. Offensively for the Braves, they have a lot of weapons. They just need to be able to put them together. Garrett Kemberling has not played as well as he wants to play, I know. He did look a lot better in the second half of the Mifflinburg game, moving back to the quarterback slot from halfback. And I think one of the reasons for that is he didn't see any of the scrimmage time early in the season because of being injured. So, and then coming off of the knee injury as well, he's going to be a little bit tentative. I thought he looked more confident in the fourth quarter of the Mifflinburg game than he has all year. And again, that's game two of the season, so he's kind of caught up with everybody else now as far as playing time. So it'll be an interesting matchup tonight, and I think this game is going to be a lot closer than some people think, and I think it's going to be who takes advantage of the opportunities. And you know what? Selins Grove has done a great job of that this year. They have taken advantage of every opportunity they have had and scored on turnovers especially, and that was one of the big things in the Trinity game a week ago.
You know, Kevin,
they run a 3-5.
Yeah, both teams will actually run a 3-5 tonight.
Kevin, you know,
you know how many 3-5s I've seen work over the years? No, I'm being dead serious.
I in high school, 3-5s have been successful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of them either, but they've been very successful.
Best of luck to both teams.
The key in a 3-5 is you have to have three down linemen that occupy the five front linemen of the offense. If you have three guys that can, or at least two guys that can draw a double team, that frees up your linebackers. And, of course, you have to have really disciplined and solid linebackers. And the teams that have been successful with the 3-5, and Selins Grove is one of those that's been successful with the 3-5 over the last several years. Danville's another one that has been very successful. Have the linebackers and also have the three guys up front that are occupying the five down linemen. If you get a sack or a tackle from your down lineman in a 3-5, that's really a bonus.
Okay, sure.
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of it either. I like a 4-4 much more in high school football, but, you know, and some of these 3-5s, and Dave, you can...
Or a 5-2. The old Oklahoma 5-2 still works.
Not a big fan of a 5-2 against a lot of the teams that are throwing the ball like they are in high school.
If you're 5-2 as two stand-up defensive ends, yeah, it is.
Tell Carmi DeFrancesco that about his 5-2. I saw both games that he played that he's gone from the 5-3 or the 3-5, whatever you want to call it, and he's going back to the old Okie once in a while.
Yeah, he has shifted back a couple in both of those games.
When I was in high school, we played a gap 6-2, and then Okie came around, and then the 4-4, and then the 5-3, and actually – if you look at that, they all basically have some of the same principles. It's just a couple of different assignments change. And Selins Grove has been very, very fortunate with theirs because they've had five really good linebackers too, Kevin, also to go along with those three down linemen.
Yeah, it was the idea, I think, of a lot of high school coaches is they are overstocked with guys that are 160, 180 pounds and not a lot of big linemen. So you maximize or optimize your athletes who are not huge front linemen. And so you end up with, by default, almost the 3-5. That's the case at Danville, which does not have – we're not growing them big in Danville.
Look, I know this is part necessity.
I get it.
Really
you're
really married to what your town's birthrate was.
Exactly. And the other thing that's happened is, on the offensive side, is – everybody here seems to be running the version of the Delaware wing T with some innovations and a little bit of the pistol to add to it. But boil it down in its essence, in the Susquehanna Valley, you're seeing a lot of Delaware wing T because of one team called Southern who's run that bull all the way to the state championship 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, Shikellamy did it in the 60s and the 70s when Dick Purnell was there and brought it back when he came back in the 90s. And, you know, a lot of people used to be critical that he wasn't they didn't pass enough. But if you look at the new version of the wing T, there are some great options as far as it comes to being able to throw the ball.
Well, that's what I ran in high school. I ran the Delaware wing T. I mean, it's great offense. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. Our roundtable of four sports guys, three of which are excited about September, one interest wane as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Together start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Fun show today. Great to have the Chief Dave Ritchie and Bob Huener's in.
Kevin's still here, wandering aimlessly through the hallways.
But by the way, the games that we didn't talk about yet that we do have on the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
Please.
Milton
please.
And Mifflinburg. That should be a very interesting game. Mifflinburg played very well last week against Shikellamy. 200-yard rushers in that game. Milton, after being handled by Danville, really took it to Warrior Run and really ran the ball well in that game. So both teams coming off of solid wins, good running games there. It'll be interesting to see how that matches up. That'll be on 1380 WMLP and 1380WMLP.com.
And, Kevin, you're on the air at 6:30.
I'm on the air at 6:30 with the Shikellamy Sealands Grove broadcast, and if you're a Seals fan, you can go to Eagle 107 at 6 for the Sealands Grove Shikellamy broadcast.
And you'll be
the difference there?
Yes, and you'll be making a guest appearance on that broadcast sometime around 6:15.
I will be in on Seals game day.
See, Steve, he's multitasking. He never stops.
Wow.
Now, whether it's a good appearance or not, that's to be determined.
Question for you, Steve. Last night when you did the show at 6 o'clock from Damon's with Bill O'Brien, what was the
I'm on break now.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't remember a union breaking his contract.
It's in the contract. It's in the sanity clause. What was the mood at Damon's? What was the mood with Bill O'Brien last night?
He's good. I mean, he was really good last night. I mean, he had a good week. They're set to go. I mean, it was fun having the Irish contingent there last night.
Well,
Peter McKenna joined us. Explained, by the way, that the Guinness tour is a big part of what they do. I found that to be shocking, but they're really excited about this. And when he brought the trophy over, the trophy was really neat. The trophy was really neat. 4,200-year-old Irish wood. Molded into and shaped into a football with the steel laces from the steel at Three River Stadium.
And the game is being played in what type of a stadium next year?
Just out Crow of Park, Crow Park, which is where they play Gaelic football and also have Irish hurling.
I love Irish hurling.
Irish hurling is a marvelous physical sport, 15 aside.
It's like a field hockey stick that you use to hit a baseball.
Yeah, and you know, if you hit it over the bar, it's worth a point. If you hit it into the net, it's worth 3 because there's a goal underneath the H goal post.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what happens? As soon as that happens, everybody takes a one-hour Guinness break and then gets back at it.
Exactly. And so, we're talking about the crowd.
Yeah, and the games last a week.
Yeah, and Gaelic football, same thing. If, you know, the ball, you know, it's a ball that looks very much like a soccer ball, except you can run with it. And you try to advance it, and you try to get it between the posts for a point, try to get it in the goal for points. And, you know, there's 15 a side. There's a goalkeeper on each side. And, you know.
Is there any truth?
They're fun. They're fun. I mean,
oh, absolutely great games.
And that's what Crow Park is used for. Crow Park is used for those games. It's an 82,000-seat natural grass stadium.
And you and Jack Ham will be leaving in, what, August to get there for the game? Early August?
Well, there's a reason why, because the two of us think that August is the most exciting month. So we're going to...
And any truth that you'll be going to St. Andrews for golf while you're there?
You know what? It's not that far to go from Dublin to Scotland.
That's right.
And in all seriousness, though, I have talked to Jack, and I know we are going to try to talk to Dan Rooney about this, about getting a tee time at Ballybunion. Ballybunion is ranked among the top 25 golf courses in the world. I think in the last Golf Digest, Ballybunion was 18th in the world in terms of its ranking. And these rankings are all subjective. Yeah. We know that. But still, you get the picture. It's a really good golf course. Ballybunion is on the west coast of Ireland. It is about a three-hour drive from Dublin. And Dublin, by the way, is a city, I didn't realize, of 1.1 million. Belfast is about 575,000. But Dublin's 1.1 million. And
that's a lot of Irishmen in one place at one time.
That's exactly right. But I talked to Ron Moeller, and I talked to Jack about this. And they said, you know, Ballybunion we found to be intriguing because of its ranking, and it has some worldwide cachet. You know, and look, I'll bring like 5,000 golf balls and try to make sure we keep the damage down to 4,000.
Yes.
Okay, all right. But I said there's a couple things to it. I said we could get a car, and because it's a 3-hour drive, we could actually see the country. All right, and see parts of the country and the rural parts of the country and so forth, going from literally the East Coast where Dublin is to the West Coast where Ballybunion is. I said that might be fun as well.
And the green color of the Irish countryside is vivid green.
Peter McKenna last night, Bob, talked about that with me, and he said, you know, he says, we always felt like our countryside was green, green. He said, we flew in here. He says, we were stunned. He said how gorgeous it is here and how green it is here. And I said, Well, we haven't had much drought. I said, Which has helped. I mean, look, this is an absolutely gorgeous part of the world.
No question.
I mean, no question about that.
One thing, Irish singing. They will sing in the stands next year at UCF Penn State.
Well, it beats overmodulated PA announcing. All right. We'll come back with more brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Love to hear those voices too at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Magical time of the year, high school football tonight, to then be followed by Penn State football tomorrow.
Apparently a couple pro games coming on this Sunday and Monday. A particular interest to Kevin.
I'll be falling asleep at halftime on Monday night the way it looks.
You know what the odd thing is, though? I mean, let's look at this realistically for a second, okay? The Steelers are tied for first place. Nobody won last week. They lost no ground. They played poorly without question and lost three key guys. There's Pouncey and Foote and Stevens Howlings. I got that part. But if they somehow win against Cincinnati, you know, the rules state, and they're very clear about this, that if you beat three other teams, you get to go to the playoffs. I mean, those are the rules. That's why I remember years ago somebody complained to me when the Twins beat the Cardinals in the World Series. It was 1987, I believe, and somebody whined, moaned, and complained to me and said, well, they won nothing but home games. I said, well, don't you understand the rules of how it goes? And he said, what do you mean? I said, they give you a group, and at this time it was six teams in the division. I said, if you beat these other five teams that they designate, they let you go to the playoffs. And if you're the first one, this is best three out of five then, if you're the first one to win three games, they let you go to the World Series. And if you're the first one to win four games, they give you the big trophy. I said, what's your complaint? They said, I mean, those are the rules.
Just the way it is.
I mean, those are the rules. That's the way it plays out. That's what it is. So if the Steelers, who had obviously a terrible preseason, a really mediocre performance at best in the opener, if they win the game on Monday night, guess who's in first?
They're in the thick of things with only 14 more games to go.
I mean, you do know how many points they scored last week, right?
They really didn't score very many, I tell you that much.
It was seven.
Well, and I'll say that Cincinnati is the only team in the division that actually looked good last week.
You're talking about a team that scored 7 points late in the game and were given 2 points at the start.
Yes. They went about 54 minutes or something like that scoreless somewhere in that neighborhood.
You're such a fan.
Now, the question I have, who do the Eagles play and when do they play? And
Eagles play Sunday against San Diego. Then it's next week, the week after.
Yes.
It's 13 days from now. Mm-hmm. They have Kansas City on Thursday Night Football, which means Andy Reid's back.
Yeah, tell me the NFL didn't plan that out.
Well, of course they planned this out. You know darn well they plan it. They don't sit there and say they don't plan it out. Of course they plan it out. They deliberately put games. How do you think the Sunday night schedule comes together? You think by a coin toss, the Giants get to play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football first?
It's all about ratings and interest. And tell you what, Andy Reid and against the Eagles, they will have a lot of interest, and we'll see how fast the Kelly-coached offense can go. They only had 77 plays, but they slowed it down at the end. But they could hit 90, 95 plays in a game without question.
Well, they had 53 in the first half against Washington.
53.
And Chip was complaining that they didn't play fast enough.
Right.
I don't know what the record for plays in a game is. I was reading something, but there's only been like 6 times that a team has been able to actually have 90 plays or more in a game.
Right.
So
exactly.
That record is no longer safe.
It's fun. It's fun to watch. People are actually enjoying watching it. That actually is part of the equation. And this is how he thinks is the best way to win. And since he's chosen that, it's intriguing. Now, they haven't played in Kansas City on Thursday night. The only problem with playing Kansas City on Thursday night, and I'll give you an example. A good friend of mine, Daryl, here in State College, who's part of the Corner Room group, he has been for a long time an Eagles season ticket holder. And I said, boy, you must be excited about the Kansas City thing with Reid coming back. Because, I mean, Kansas City is a perfect example of how the league can work. Kansas City is going to go, I think, they have a chance at going from the team with the first overall draft choice to maybe being a 9-7 football team. And that's how the system in the NFL is supposed to work, the way the draft choices work out and so forth. And I said, you know, it must be exciting, you know, with Reid coming back, it's going to be kind of a wild scene. He says, Steve, I really can't go. And I said, Daryl, you're a season ticket holder. What do you mean you can't go? He says, Steve, it's too late. He says, if for me to do this, he said, I'd have to get down. He says, getting down there's no problem. He said, but the game's going to run till 11:30, midnight. You got to get out of the parking lot. He said, I won't get back till like 4:30 in the morning. So he can't go. So that is the issue for anybody who has any distance to travel for these things. And that's something that's, you know, the NFL, I mean, obviously most people live in the area to begin with. You don't usually have people traveling 200 miles to do this, but on a Thursday night game, that's what makes it tougher.
Sure. And I hope we'll be able to get Merle Reese back on at some point to talk now that he's actually seen the offense go and get his thoughts and concerns, if he has any, about the team, about, say, after 4 or 5
sure.
games. It would be great to hear his observations.
Yeah, about, you know, whether he can keep up or not.
Yeah, exactly. Do they need a color guy anymore?
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing I think
Jack always laughs about. Jack always laughs with me about that. He says, am I going to be needed anymore? He says, believe me, we'll make it work. So.
Well, because the other alternative could be Kevin Herr.
I mean,
we will definitely make it work.
Just can't get a break.
It's going to be interesting to see how that, you know, affects broadcasters. Not that it's important to the game.
No,
but
it's not going to. If you know how to do it, It doesn't affect you at all.
You haven't heard Mike Quick. He's not quick.
I get to hear a lot of broadcasts now because of all the driving
sure.
I do, whether it's speaking engagements or a game or whatever it happens to be. I hear a lot of SiriusXM.
Yes.
And when you do, your appreciation for Jack and for Dick Girardi just grows exponentially because I don't hear a lot of things where I sit back and go, that was interesting.
You know, the guy I like and I maybe talk to him at some point is Mr. Ilkin, the color commentator for
Tunch is really good.
He is
Tunch
really, Ilkin. Really good.
Yeah.
He's like
really
a Jack
good.
Ham guy.
Yeah, he's really good. I like him a lot. He and Bill Hillgrove are terrific together. I think they do a great job. They can do without the sideline guy, but they seem to feel that's an important part. But that's
no, I like Wolf. I think he, especially
brother.
When he and Tunch are together.
They're really hitting hard. I got it. It's football. Okay.
Well, all right. I didn't say he added a ton, but when he and Tunch get going, I mean, those guys are fun together.
Yeah. I think they lighten up the broadcast. I think Wolfley lightens up the broadcast more than gives any insightful analysis.
They're really hitting each other.
Man, they're banging heads down here in the field.
At least it's better than Saragusa, who stands on the sidelines and just draws things up on his little TV booth there.
So we've got a good Eagles game. We'll see about the Steelers. We've got some baseball, the Pirates and Cubs, and the Pirates back in first place now.
The Pirates have hit the underbelly of the schedule, but the difference is they still have six games left with Cincinnati. St. Louis is done with both Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Although Milwaukee got them St. Louis last night.
Right, but I'm saying that they don't have to play Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh still have to play each other.
Yes. And Pirates have 10 more home games to go out of 16 on the schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a bit favorable.
I thought that they were dealt a bad hand in the schedule when the Pirates were forced to go to Texas in September.
Against the pennant contending team.
Right, against obviously a team that's been really good the last 5 years. And they walked in there, Gerrit Cole, on a day where Yu Darvish pitched really well, he outpitched him and beat him. And I thought that was extremely impressive. And that broke a streak after they had performed poorly, by the way, in St. Louis. And that put them back on track, and they ended up sweeping that series. So
last night at about 7:05 p.m. at PNC Park, the Pirates were announced to take the field, and 25,000 to 30,000 people that were in the stands gave them a huge minute-and-a-half, two-minute-long standing ovation just for running out onto the field.
But you know what, though? I want to tell you they got lucky with something, all right?
Okay.
And I'll be frank with everybody about this. Where they got really lucky about this whole deal is that they won games 81 and 82 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because by winning them on the road, it kept them from an embarrassing situation, as far as I'm concerned, where the Pirate fans would go crazy in the stadium and the whole deal because they won 82 games. I mean, and to me, it would be like, no, just sit down. Act like you've been there before.
The long-suffering Pirate Nation could not do that. They've been sitting on their hands for 20 years. I think they had to break out, and I think that last night, you know, once they got over what Pittsburgh fans call the Mendoza line, named after the great Mario Mendoza, who never hit above 200, I think that the pent-up emotions really took the best of a lot of fans who've suffered. And I think it bodes well for the team that they respond to that, the fans. The comments from Marlon Byrd and from Morneau, who have just been acquired, have been really strong about the Pittsburgh fans and how much they appreciate playing before such a fan base.
I think they're tremendous. The Pittsburgh fans have been incredible.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, let's go to Buzz in Northumberland. Hiya, Buzz.
Hey, guys. I just had a friend come home from Colorado, fortunately, before the storms, and she said took her a couple of days to get used to the altitude out there. She thought she was sick, and finally the people she was staying with said, no, it's just the air's thinner here. It takes you a while to get used to it. And sure enough, after about 2 or 3 days, she was going up and down the stairs without getting winded. So my question to you is, how do professional teams from Florida or Pennsylvania go into that atmosphere and play under those conditions? I've been there. I mean, it takes a while to adapt. You can't do it in one day.
It does take a while to adapt, and that's why, for example, the Broncos, the University of New Mexico, the University of Wyoming, they make sure you know in no uncertain terms what the altitude is. They write it down for you.
When you walk into
the pit in Albuquerque, there's a line when you walk down the tunnel into the pit from the locker room that tells you it's 5,280 feet at that line. So they tell you that.
Yeah.
Wow. Same thing.
Do they try and show up a day or two early to adjust, or do they have extra O2 on the sidelines, or what do they do?
Pro teams do. College teams can't. So you just go in there, and you just prep for it. You try to make it's no big deal to them, but you try to make sure there's oxygen on the sideline and so forth because it does cause some lung burn when you do it. And you can absolutely feel it, but they try to provide oxygen on the sideline. Pro teams will go in early to get used to it. College teams can't. They're not allowed to.
I would say that the Broncos are probably at an advantage for everywhere else they go, wouldn't they?
Sure, they should be. I mean, they should be. And I've always felt it was an advantage for them. But at the same time, psychologically, you don't want to make a big deal out of it to your players because you don't want them thinking about it.
Okay. Always wondered about that. Thank you.
Thanks, Buzz. Yeah, you just don't want them thinking about it because it isn't. If you play a game at Air Force, you play a game at Colorado, a game at Colorado State. Wyoming's the worst. They're 7,200 feet. It enters into it, but you do try very hard to make sure that they don't think about it too much.
I think wouldn't it be really pronounced in football and basketball as opposed to baseball because of the strenuous activity and the breathing because of the sprinting nature of the games?
Well, actually, in baseball, you know what they've done? The Colorado Rockies put all the baseballs in a humidor.
That's right. I just heard about that.
Before the game. And the reason they do that is because the ball's been flying so much there, they thought this was the best way, by taking the moisture out of them, by putting more moisture into them, it would give it less shock and not fly as far.
You do remember Ryan Clark of the Steelers having the issue in Denver, not being able to play there because of health issues, and actually it was an issue that could have caused his demise if he would have played there.
Right,
I think
exactly.
It was a spleen he had removed the 1 year.
Right, yeah. So
yeah, very rare condition, yes.
And this is Kevin complaining because Tebow beat them in the playoffs.
Oh, I remember that pass. The one good pass he threw in his life.
It's quite a throw, wasn't it?
It was a great way to, and it was right after the announcement, and don't forget, this is going to be the year, the first time we've seen the new playoff scenario. Oh, touchdown, well, that's not going to matter now.
Steve, I want to go back to something that you said a couple weeks ago about Tim Tebow, and it was spot on as usual, and it was like, hey, Tim, if you want to really make it in the NFL, maybe you ought to try the Canadian Football League. Look at all the great players that have gone up there and then come back and had pro careers in the NFL. And so when he was cut by New England, that question was asked of him. And I think foolishly, he basically said, I'm ruling it completely out. He was also asked, incidentally, by the USA rugby team to consider trying out for them because he would be an incredible rugby player. Because of his size and speed, ability to run the ball, and also it's a different motion, but a backward pass that he could do that probably few players in rugby in America could do. And he turned them down as well. But I thought foolishly he just ruled out the CFL.
And he can't rule out the CFL.
No.
You have to be able to hone your craft, and you can't hone your craft if you're sitting there and either cut where he is now or watching as a third quarterback. He can't do that. The field is wider. The field is longer. I think it could be a great experience for him.
And he'd be playing.
And he'd also not be the first guy to be in that spot. I mean, Joe Theismann played up there. Warren Moon played up there. Doug Flutie played up there. Vince Ferragamo played up there. Dieter Brock played up there. Mark Trestman, who's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, was coaching up there. Bud Grant coached up there. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't – don't let your pride get in the way of an opportunity. And I think for him, the CFL could be a great opportunity to hone his craft. And I'm telling you, if he performs well out there, he'll have four or five teams beating the door down to get him.
Absolutely. Just and it's an opportunity to not sit on a bench, or in this case, he doesn't even sit on the bench anymore. And
so,
he,
no.
He sit may in not the bleachers. Be, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say sit board. In the bleachers. Is
yeah,
what it
he's,
was.
Yeah, he's going to be up in the press box somewhere.
But he should play. He needs to play. I mean, and when you sit there and you rattle off the list of guys that played in the CFL that now went into the NFL and did well, I mean, Ferragamo, Brock, okay, Flutie, Theismann, Moon. I mean, others have done it, too. I mentioned the coaches, Bud Grant, Mark Trestman. Trestman, you know, has certainly brought a lot of things back from there and has done well with it. Then you like Cookie Gilchrist, he played up there. I mean,
yeah,
it's just, I think it's foolish on his part not to consider it.
But that son of a gun still threw that pass against the Steelers that broke Kevin's heart, oh, my heart.
You can stop that.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. I'm trying to rub it in, Steve, in case you hadn't noticed, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I think he's just a bit bitter. Let's take a break.
Yes.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Corey, thank you for opening up the pickle bar, my man. Thank you. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin wants me to get a new iPhone.
I just want you to get a new phone.
Well, with the iPhone 5 is coming out.
The 5S. Or you can get the 5C, which is a more kid-friendly version. So maybe that would work better for you, Steve.
Yeah. Okay.
Kevin is the techno whiz of Sunbury Broadcasting.
He is. He is. No question about that.
I'll even come out and help you set it up, man.
If you have a question with anything of a technological nature, I've found him to be quite enlightening, actually.
Yeah. No. I mean, he is absolutely the expert on this. No question about it. He is the expert.
I'd be more than happy to come out and set it up for you, and it would only cost you dinner.
And, you know, he's never been to the chateau.
No. All right. You know what? Not even dinner, then. I'll take snacks in the chateau.
Okay. And, you know, I've never been to the chateau either, although I have been invited. I have to say that.
Well, you're one up in the other, guy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I didn't – for the second consecutive week, I did not win the Penn State tickets that one could get from Sunbury Broadcasting.
Sorry, Bob.
By being on Facebook, on the Facebook pages. So better luck next week for me.
You might have a better shot at hitting the 300-plus Powerball on Saturday.
I'm going for that.
The number's big, boys. The number's big.
It is big. And when I win, I'm going to send you guys a postcard from Tahiti.
You just bought it.
Because I bought it, yes.
Not the postcard either.
No, exactly.
Speaking of the ticket contest, Jason Johnson won last week. Was nice enough to post a Steve, Jack, and Jeff Tarman photo on the Steve Jones Show Facebook page. And I'm guessing, Steve, it's about 3 seconds to air because your headphones aren't quite on yet.
Okay.
And knowing you as I do, it's probably not 5 minutes to air. It's probably like 3 seconds to air.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yep.
It's
why rush a good thing?
Right. Well, Kevin's got the Sealands Grove game tonight. I would assume you'll have your headphones on by, what, 5:45?
5:30 without traffic.
Yes, and he's worried about getting across the river bridge because of the line at Brewers Outlet. Still there, still heavy volume in the Brewers Outlet area.
Because of the hot, fresh roasted peanuts. You have the incredible, incredible pickle bar. You have beverages. Did I mention beer?
Yes.
And, by the way, they also have incredible snacks. I mean, tremendous snacks. So they have it all at Brewers Outlet. Look, it's a big football weekend. Big game tomorrow, big games, rivalry games tonight. You need to stock up before it's all said and done.
The Shawokan Dam Police Department listening. I'll be driving through that area in a few short moments. A police escort would be most welcome.
And I'll see you, Steve, tomorrow in front of the Bryce Jordan.
Bob, look forward to seeing you.
Kevin, I'll see you sometime soon.
Hey, enjoy the games tonight, Robert.
Kevin, have a good time.
Steve, have a great call tomorrow. I'll be listening.
You too. Same here. Be listening tonight to the 52nd meeting between Sealands Grove, the Seals, and Shikellamy.